This is Geek News Central, celebrating 16 years in podcasting. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to FEMA Region 5 and the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. Top stories tonight. AT&T kills DSL. Slack has an extended outage. Regal Theaters is pulling the plug. And cooler screens is pretty cool. I want to welcome you to episode 1480 of the Geekness Central podcast for Monday, October 5th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, if you're a brand new listener of the show or viewer, doesn't matter. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, and when you're on the website, subscribe to the podcast. All you got to do is click your podcast subscription option, whether it be Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Android, Stitcher. Just really, the full gamut is there. So make sure you get subscribed to the show when you're on there. Sign up for the newsletter as well so you can get all the latest news and information about this podcast delivered directly into your email inbox. So, of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon chat server, or on Discord. Discord is completely aligned with the show. That link is in the show notes. Of course, if you want to join our Slack channel, all you got to do is email me, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter, @geeknews. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook by following me personally, Todd Cochran. Of course, partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content on the website from all the variety of shows that I work with, whether it be the GNC Week in Review, whether it be the Gadget Professor, whether it be the New Media Show. Of course, we've got great content on the Pro Gear Guru site, and of course, the now Pod Faded Podcast Legend Show. So all those links are available at geeknewscentral.com. But more importantly, this show has the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been with us now, thank you very much, for 15 plus years. You can save money on GoDaddy products and services by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, a $4.99 on newer transferred domains, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again, with a free domain. Those hosting deals, as I've been telling you for some time, are the best deals in the podcasting space. So definitely check that out over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, if you're a business owner, you can get a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. But don't forget that fallback promo code of 30% off. That one's where you're going to save money long term. And be honest with you, we make no money when you use that 30% promo code. Domains and hosting accounts. The 30% off new products and purchases is there purely for you to save money. And definitely appreciate GoDaddy as a longtime sponsor of the podcast. Thank you very much for your support. And don't forget that your support keeps this podcast online and an independent writing team employed. You're supporting a small team of independent content creators by using one of my promo codes. In that effort, I want to thank you for your support. Share those codes with your friends, family members, people that you know, and save tens of thousands of dollars. Well, my listeners, you have saved tens of thousands of dollars over the years, probably in the hundreds of thousands at this point. But we want to thank you, GoDaddy, again, for your longtime support here. And again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, who has sponsored this show since June of 2005. So where are we at tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Well, where we are at is 16 years in podcasting. And it's used to be I could get things to line up so we'd hit show 100 on 1 year, two. But no, I take too many shows off. Or at least I do now, not in the early days. So 1,480 episodes, 16 years in podcasting. And for some of you, we're just going to take a little trip back to where this thing really, really jumped off. And my. I think back to really June of 2004 when I was in a swimming pool accident in Bahrain, being on deployment, was not a non-combat injury. Non-alcohol induced injury, thank God. It was close. I had a beer in my hand, but hadn't popped the top, but I ended up getting hurt on a swimming pool slide and spent 13 days in a hospital in Bahrain. Flew home first class on taxpayers' expense for about $15,000 to get me back to Honolulu. And I was walking when I got off the plane, but forever grounded, could never fly again in the Navy, which in June of that year, I was on a 60-day convalescent recovery. So, you think about, so I get home in the middle of June. I've got all of June, all of July into August. And when you're broke, in other words, your body is broken, and you're on what's called limited duty in the Navy, and you can't fly anymore, you has to find something to do. Or you shall, find yourself unemployed and early retired and or not even retired. Just, thank you for your service, and here's your disability. Well, I made myself useful and found something to do. So the group I was working with, I was working in VPU2 special projects. I was in the configs department. And basically what we did is we modified airplanes and got all kinds of cool stuff. And what I did within that department will probably die with me because I can't talk about any of it. But I'll just say that someone had a box du jour. And I installed a box du jour. I designed an installer. My team did. And long story short, it was a great time that I was in that squadron. But anyway, so I needed to find something to do. So they were modifying the airplane I worked on in Waco, Texas, at L3 Communications. And the company's been known by 5 different names over the years. But anyway, out I went by body cast and went to do basically protecting your taxpayer dollars from being spent. And long story short, in October of that year, I was stuck in my hotel room because I was really couldn't do too much. I couldn't be on my feet a lot. And it was hot, and I'm wearing this body clamshell, 18, 19 hours a day. Can't remember if I slept in it or not. Regardless, I spent a lot of time in that clamshell, and I only had one. And there's really no way to kind of like wash it. So I just really was embarrassed to go out in public too much because I think I was kind of ripe. But I spent a lot of time in the hotel room surfing the internet, and I came across the Daily Source Code and Adam Curry and Dave Weiner's podcast. And man, it was like a hook being set in my cheek. And I could barely get things around quick enough to start a show. So I recorded, I don't know how many of the first podcasts were in Waco. Probably 5, 6, 7, 10. I don't remember. And that really was where the podcast was born, in a hotel room, 1495 LabTech microphone plugged into an audio in jack on a really underpowered laptop. I really pushed things to the limit, and then the show just went like a rocket ship. And there's a whole story in trying to keep the show online. There was no hosting companies. There was no Blueberry. There was no Libsyn. There was nothing. And so basically about every 3 days, I'd have to change hosting providers because I'd used up the bandwidth on one and go to another one. And it was very, I guess for better words, a complex way to run the show. But it worked. And we stayed online. And many of you have been with me since those early, early, early days. And, I think when I left Waco and went back to Hawaii, I told Shoko at the time, hey, I'm starting this podcast thing. And she kind of looked at me like, what? And had no idea, no clue what we were doing, except, I'd done a number of things in the years before, had a bulletin board system that was a money pit and caused just a lot of chaos. And basically, I was put on the clock. I had a couple of years to figure out how to make money with this thing. And of course, the book deal came in November of 2004 with Wiley and asked me to write the first book on podcasting. So it was rapid succession of events that happened, and we were making this thing up as we went. We really had no clue what we were doing. I started the Tech Podcast Network, and in January of 2005, the book came out in March. I announced the book in March. There's a whole set of stories about that we've told in the past about getting a heads up of somebody else that was writing a book, and we went first, and blah, blah, blah. Hold the presses. But and then there was, then GoDaddy basically made the overture to sponsor the show in June of 2005, and we've been sponsored with them ever since. So that was a genesis for starting Raw Voice and Blueberry Podcasting, because there was a business model there. So things just really kind of happened in a flash. And I really think back to everything that happened and how this show evolved, and it's been a whirlwind of 16 years, even to this day today. It's a whirlwind. There's something new every day that pops up. We're finding all kinds of new use cases for one of our brand new products we've launched. Companies have come to us, and man, they've got some crazy ideas. But in the end, this show twice a week, or as near as I can stay to twice a week, has really been what's kept me grounded in understanding the challenges of doing a show, building an offense, building an audience, keeping the sponsor happy at the same time as trying to entice you guys to become insiders and contribute to the show, and all those things that we've balanced, that I have balanced for so many years. Of course, the transition of the show from historic Ford Island, where the show was originally produced it was not even in Ford Island. It was initially we'd moved to Ford Island. So the show was from historic Ford Island in Honolulu. And then when I retired from the Navy, the show then moved into the place in Kapolei. And then, of course, last year, the move from Honolulu to bringing the show and being closer to the business and everything here in Michigan, in the studio here in Coldwater. And it's hard to believe, you think about this timeline of doing the show and introducing video and all the crazy things that happen when we introduce video. It really was just trying to really make stuff up as we went. And that was the case for a number of years, and trying to figure out what works, what doesn't. And we've been on this type of setup now, where I'm multicasting through Wowza, basically able to send to Twitch, to Twitter, to Facebook, to YouTube Live, as a matter of fact, two Facebook pages. It's an amazing we can do it, and then continue to do the show. Now, my travel before COVID was kind of crazy. I was doing the show in Columbus, doing it here, doing it at events, and just really was I've been a ping pong ball for a while. And of course, now we've been locked down here since late February, and it's time for me to take a short break. And I took a little bit of a break a couple months ago, but I'm going to take three shows off. So tonight, this show, there will be no new shows until the 19th of October. I'm going to take three shows off as a little bit of a celebratory thing. And I know some of you, oh my God, you're taking three shows off. I don't think I've ever took three shows off in a row, but I'm going to take three shows off. And so tonight, enjoy the show. And then you get a break. But I'm always going to make sure that as I've done this for many, many years, I haven't taken in a great number of breaks, although I've tried to do a few more here and there. But I think at this point, it's okay. And I'll come back refreshed. I'm really not going anywhere. Just being able to have my whole week to breathe and to, I've told my team at Blueberry, no, I'm not going to do Podcast Insider. I told Rob Greenlee, I'm not doing the new media show while I'm off. Going to have a decent break. But, you know, if you're thinking about starting a show, you know, this is not the thing to think about. You want to do consecutive things, consecutive shows. But really where we're at, or where I'm at, is that 16 years so far, there's very few podcasters that have had a 16-year run on a single show. I probably in one hand, that's how many that are left. And I'm not, you know, I rack up two a week most of the time. Sometimes it's one a week, but I don't have to give you guys excuses. You know, you're here, you're supporting, you're watching live, make comments. So, I think for everything considered that's going on, it's good to do this from time to time. But what else? So, yeah, so, you know, 16-year run. I could probably talk, and we'll do it on the anniversary show. We'll talk about highlights of things that happened. We're 20 away. So what is that? That's 2.5 months. So October, November, sometime in December, I guess we'll hit 1500, try to get there before the end of the year. Hard to believe it is October 5th. This is just, to me, is my brain rattles a little bit here. We, you know, 2020 is definitely a flush, and all the insanity that has ensued around everything that's gone on with COVID-19. And of course, here in Michigan, now stuff is going to be able to start to open up. Our governor's been overridden on her executive orders. So maybe some people that are finally, you know, they've been restricted from being able to work and be able to go into places and do certain things, we'll start to be able to do some of that. But yeah, all her executive orders were found to be outside the bounds of what she was legally allowed to do based on the 1949 Constitution. I don't know the full legal details, but I think businesses, though, are probably going to still be careful. I think it's smart, but we'll see what happens. But anyway, 16 years. And those of you who have been with me for 16 years, thank you. I know some of you that are insiders that have been contributing to the show for all this time. Many of you have been here for many, many years contributing, some of you as much as $25 a month. So I want to sincerely thank you for those of you that are doing, you do either one-time donations per year or do a monthly contribution of $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25. That is absolutely golden. It really helps take the edge off on some of the additional expenses. So I encourage you, if you're not an insider, consider being one. And you can find that information out at geeknewscentral.com/insider. So 16 years. I want to thank Timothy for your comments. Rita. What else? Yeah. What a big change. You're right. It's a huge change over the years. Huge. I don't have any more hair. There's no more kids coming in and turning knobs on the gear, right? Yeah, just all the little quirky things that have happened over the time. And, you know, I think even based upon what I do with my company, I've had to be a little more constrained sometimes in doing the show and some of the things I talk about, some of the reactions I may have. And my friends that know me the best, they've always said I've been completely reached. I'm a little bit different on the air than I am in person. And that's to be expected. Because the sailor in me cannot come out. And believe me, from time to time, it wants to come out. The sailor in me wants to come out and cuss a little bit. So anyway, by the way, Timothy, that's watching on Facebook, where's your show? you procrastinator, you. So if you're watching, make sure you say hi. And I try to catch everyone that's watching. But again, I was a bumbling idiot here at the beginning of the show tonight, trying to get get everything started. So I'm watching here to make sure that everything is still running the way it should be, and it appears to be. So anyway, that's my thought process, and I guess what I do have. I missed it last week because the conspiracy team had been a little bit behind the schedule, which is okay. They've got lives too. But I do have some conspiracies from last week that trickled into this week. And let me read the couple of conspiracies and some of the discussion that happened in the Slack channel. So here's the conspiracy. People in our generation received a vaccination that left a scar. I've got one right here. The conspiracy theory is that vaccination actually captured skin cells to be used for nefarious purposes in the future, possibly to create a clone army. Think about it, though. No other vaccination ever left depressions in the skin. So a lot of us have that. I believe it was for polio, wasn't it? I can't remember which vaccination it was for that left a scar on our arms. I heard about that for many, many years. This is one of the Kirk said in the chat room. He says, my dad told me that one time when I was a kid, and I thought he was nuts. So here's another conspiracy theory. Theme parks put salt in the free drinking water to keep the lines shorter while people are forced to go to buy bottled water, make more frequent bathroom breaks, all in an effort to be allowed to serve more people and increase profits. So in other words, you drink the free water, which I've never done out of a theme park. I've always had bottled water or a bottle with water. And this conspiracy theory is that they put salt in it to have us buy bottled water. Interesting. Of course, the chat room said that would explain my expensive trip to Disney World a couple of years ago. And we're not saying Disney puts salt in the fresh water. Okay. This is just a comment in the chat room. All right. And finally, the conspiracy that wraps up from the last show. And even on a lighter note, side package thieves, in other words, when someone drops a package at your house, UPS, FedEx, or whoever, and we have people stealing packages, right? And on even lighter, side package thieves are rumored, okay, this is a disclaimer. This is a rumor. This is just a conspiracy. And even lighter side, package thieves are rumored to be all employees of both Ring and Nest to sell more doorbell cameras. Now, full disclosure here, this is a conspiracy theory. I have no possible idea whether there's any truth to that or putting salt water in any type of theme park water. This is all just conspiracy theories that are out there. So take it for what it's worth. And you know, I'm making no comment that this is really the deal. This is just conspiracies. So anyway, those are the conspiracy for today. And by the way, we've had a flu vaccine for 78 years, and we still have the flu. it was smallpox, I think, would cause the mark on the arm. So anyway, because it was in the chat a little bit further on. Yes, I do have a full set of content for you tonight, regular tech content. And if you're watching the show for the first time, make sure you get over to GeekandCentral.com and subscribe to the podcast. We want you to be a part of the permanent family here as we go into starting our 16th year, or as I start my 16th year of podcasting. Okay, so what do I have in the stack? I got a pretty good stack of stuff. And the first one should not come as a surprise. And this is purely on the tech side, but AT&T is killing DSL, leaving tens of millions of homes without fiber internet. So AT&T has stopped. Like, I had a DSL in Hawaii on one line. AT&T stops connecting new DSL users. Only 28% of AT&T territory has full fiber. And not surprisingly, in this article, they talk about how, like, when they went into Detroit. So where did they put fiber in Detroit? In the rich neighborhoods. They didn't wire up the poor neighborhoods. They put them on DSL. Now, those customers, I guess, are going to be able to keep their service, but you can never order DSL in areas that don't have cable. If you're in an AT&T area and that's your only choice, you no longer can order DSL. So, citing data that ISPs are required to submit, the FCC, the report issued today said that AT&T had built fiber to home of 28% of the households in its footprint as of June 30th. The report was written by the Communications Workers of America, a union that represents AT&T employees and National Digital Inclusion Alliance, an advocacy group which has been tracking AT&T's broadband deployment for years. The group says that AT&T has left rural areas and people with low incomes with old and inadequate broadband services. This is being found out right now. I've got a couple articles tonight. We're going to talk about people working from home and the challenges they have, because many people are underserved in the internet era. 52.97 million households in AT&T's home internet service area, and 14.93 of them have fiber. The fiber percentage is particularly bad in some states, with rates of 14 to 16% in Michigan, Illinois, Mississippi, and Arkansas. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Across the predominantly rural counties in AT&T's national footprint, only 5% of households, 217,000 out of 4.4 million, have access to fiber. In urban areas, the situation better, but not problem-free. 70% of households in urban counties still lack access to fiber from AT&T because the company has made fiber only available, again, to 14.7 million households out of its 48.4 million total households in those counties. And again, AT&T upgrades are leaving poor people behind. NDIA's research in previous years has called attention to AT&T's digital redlining. In cities such as Cleveland and Detroit, which the richest inhabitants of cities are prioritized for fiber, AT&T prioritizes network upgrades to wealthier areas, leaving lower-income communities with outdated technologies. Households with fiber have median income 30% higher than those with DSL only. AT&T can provide decent broadband speeds without building fiber all the way to each home, with a fiber-to-the-node approach that minimizes the use of copper phone cables. But there are still many areas where AT&T does not offer service at the FCC standard of 25 megs down and 3 megs up. I would die for 25 megs down and 3 megs upstream out at the compound. The nearly six-year-old 25/3 standard has been roundly criticized. Some customers at AT&T are lucky. They have a cable operator that can provide modern speeds. But even for them, AT&T's failure to deploy fiber means they are deprived of benefits of competition and price choice and service quality. This is what AT&T's response was. to this report. Our investment decisions are based on capacity needs of our network and demand for our service. We do not redline. Yes, I feel they do personally. Inner excess and any suggestions that we do is wrong. We invested more in the United States over the past 5 years than any other public company. We spent more than $125 billion in our U.S. wireless and wireline networks, including capital investments and acquisitions of wireless spectrum and operations. Yes, wireless. Our 5G network provides high-speed internet across nation access nationwide, not unlimited broadband AT&T. Our fiber network serves more than 18 million customer locations, and we continue to invest to expand both networks. This is just marketing speak. How many of you are in AT&T service area and you can't get broadband? I know my CFO can't. He can't get broadband in an AT&T area. I can't get broadband. Of course, I don't know if I'm in an AT&T area or not. I don't think so. So I'm going to keep hammering on this, folks. I'm going to keep hammering on this this broadband inequality. And I'm hoping, as you talk to your representatives, as people come around and are asking you for your vote, whether they be state or national, you need to ask them what they're going to do about this. Make it a point as a listener of the show. If every listener of the show made a point, anytime they ran into a politician, to ask them this question, it's going to build awareness. And those of you that live in areas where there's no broadband connectivity per se, because my little measly 13 down, which is usually about 8 down, and usually about half a meg or a meg up, my connection is horrible. It sucks. It sucks big time. And by the way, those of you that have sent DVDs, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate every contribution you have made. All right. So I'm going to get off bashing AT&T. Verizon and T-Mobile will be next when they see little articles come out, because they're all not good. All right. Slack had a pretty big outage today. And I was wondering why people weren't responding to me on Slack. And I kept going back to my Slack channel and they'd be like, try again. This message didn't send. So I kept hitting it. Finally would go through. Typically a Monday. Client notes some user experience issues on desktop, web, and mobile. Yes. Yes, indeed. It was. And by about 3 this afternoon, they were back. But they still had some problems all day, so it was not a good day to be trying to communicate stuff in Slack. As a matter of fact, my blood pressure went up a little bit once because I wasn't getting a response to something, and I'm like, why are you not responding? Because they didn't get the message, because it didn't go through. Regal Cinemas. I didn't know any cinemas were open. All the movie theaters in Michigan are still closed. I guess now maybe they can open, but maybe they won't. Maybe it's because Regal's going to do the same. You know, maybe these movie theaters here will do the same. Regal temporarily suspend operations of its 536 U.S. theaters on October 8th. Has anybody been to a movie? I would go. I would go to a movie if I could go. The pandemic's impact on the movie business temporarily shut down all Regal U.S. theaters. And why? Because the movie industry is delaying movie releases. And here's the thing. They're just biting the big one. They haven't been able to make movies. So what they've got in the can is it. So they're just going to, at this point, eat it and wait till they can start working and get a pipeline of movies going again. This is not a decision we made lightly, and we did everything in our power to support a safe and sustainable reopening in the United States. From putting in place robust health and safety measures at our theaters to joining our industry and making a collective commitment to the cinema safe protocols to reaching out to state and local officials to educate them on these initiatives. We are especially grateful for and proud of the hard work of our employees. put in to adapt our theaters to the new protocols and cannot underscore enough how difficult this decision was. The company attributed the decision to the closure of theaters in major markets like New York and the decision of studios to push off major new releases until next year. Marvel Studios' Black Widow being pushed to May 7th. And this past Friday saw the next James Bond film, No Time to Die, getting delayed until next April. No movies. No new movies. No reason to go to the cinema. Feel bad for them. One of many, many industries that's took a whack. This next thing is cool. I don't know how often you go into a convenience store, but they're all the same. You got to walk all the way to the back to either get access to the beer, sodas, or water, or energy drinks, right? You got to go all the way to the back. They're never up front. But a company called Cooler Screens is making those cooler doors into televisions. It's an interactive digital display to replace glass doors in store cooler aisles. And it's raised more than $80 million in Series C funding. It's about the new way to market to you, I am sure. So I'm sure when you walk up to the door and try to find your Mountain Dew, then it's probably going to have some sort of interactivity on it. So it's pretty slick. Of course, you can open the door, there won't be anything there. Then you're going to be really pissed. So the startup has now raised $100 million in funding. The latest round comes from Ryzen Ventures. Maybe what it'll do is show that it's out of stock, so you don't have to open the cooler door. But the idea of replacing simple glass doors with electronic displays might seem necessary or even annoying, but he says his first priority is winning consumers' hearts. After all, we're used to doing as much research as we want before buying a product online, but very little of that information available in the brick-and-mortar shopping experience. You could ask the screen, show me all the vegan items, or how many calories is this product? And it's already available in some stores. After installing screens in 50 Walgreens locations in Chicago, the startup announced plans to expand to 2,500 Walgreens stores across the United States. Other partners include Kroger and Get-Go. Now, I think I saw some of these at the Consumer Electronics Show last year. I think they were in the vendor area, and I didn't pay much attention to it at the time. He said, we can digitize our stores, and as we do that, we're willing to put our money where our mouth is and show you the consumer will love us. So we'll see where this goes. Do you want to be able to talk to... I think when I walk up to a screen, I know why I want a Mountain Dew. I think I know why I want an ice water or a bottle of water. I think I know that reason. Or an energy drink of some sort. I don't know. I think that it's pretty. It's definitely pretty. But if I open the door and there's nothing there, I'm going to be even more mad. Okay. COVID tracking. States are finally starting to use the COVID tracking tech Apple and Google built. New York and New Jersey both released COVID-19 apps this week, bringing a total to 10 states that have published alert apps. COVID apps are starting to catch on 6 months after the system was first announced. New York and New Jersey's apps will also work across state lines, addressing a major issue with the early version. So if you are in New Jersey and you commute into New York, it is going to track where you go. And this is now 10 states plus Guam. And if you own by halfaday.com, I got that for sale. 10 states plus Guam that publish apps using technology from the Apple-Google partnership. 70 million people or 21% of the U.S. population now have access to a COVID-19 app. Now the question is, how many have installed it? If this system works properly, the apps will provide push alerts to any user who came in close contact with another app user who tested positive for coronavirus. So, developed on New York's app, COVID Alert New York, started in August, and it cost $700,000. quote unquote, a relatively low price, it was able to be covered by federal funds and nonprofit groups, including Bloomberg Philanthropy. So, you know, here's the deal. To fast, rapid do an app, I don't think it would have cost $700,000, but they definitely paid a premium. Of course, Germany's COVID-19 app cost 20 million euros. Holy smoke, someone made some serious cash. So anyway, American governments can take advantage of apps built in countries such as Ireland and Canada because of the code for those apps available online and free to use and has already been deployed to millions of users. Instead of building the apps from scratch, they merely have to customize an open source app with specific local health information, graphics, and languages, and don't have to reinvent complicated code. But again, who's going to use them? And I think open sourcing them allows them to be looked at. And again, will people install them? Ireland's app, which New York and New Jersey are based on, has an active user base of 1.3 million, or about 35% of the adult population. Virginia's app was first to be released in the United States and is downloaded 460,000 times, amounting to 11% of the state's population. Yeah, 10, 11, 12%, I would bet, would be the norm. So anyway, COVID app for New York and New Jersey and Guam and a few other states. Sony Kioxia. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Sony and Kioxia has asked the United States government for an exemption to serve Huawei with components, those most likely being image sensors and NAND flash storage units. Now, remember, the U.S. government still has these trade sanctions and these, you know, against China and these companies. So, Huawei's access to global component supply chain has been severely curtailed since the imposition of U.S. sanctions in May of 2019, extending them in May of this year, of course, citing national security grounds, which I have no doubt. These restrictions have found it difficult, if not impossible, for most vendors in recent weeks. Memory manufacturer Samsung, Skyhynix, and Micron ceased selling components to Huawei, with exception of Micron, which had previously established an exemption. All these companies are based in South Korea. Separately, Huawei is no longer able to outsource chipset manufacturing in Taiwan or obtain proprietary Android Google mobile service software. So they're putting a crimp on them. And we'll see what happens. If Biden wins, do you think he will take all these sanctions off? Do you think he'll take all the trade tariffs off? I think he'll do it the first day. I think he'll say, Huawei, you continue to do business. I think he'll tell China all the trade sanctions are off. I'm sure that's what he'll do the first day if he's president. I have no doubt in my mind. And once again, China will continue to take advantage of us. That's my prediction. So we'll see what happens with the outcome of the election. Fake turtle eggs. Well, designed to take down an international sea turtle conspiracy. So basically, they took some endangered sea turtles, the trade of endangered sea turtles for shells and meat is illegal. But that hasn't stopped traffickers from smuggling eggs from beaches and selling them to restaurants as a delicacy. So they basically printed 3D decoy eggs with GPS tracking inside them. And they determined where a whole bunch of these eggs that were picked up were sent. Some of them as far as 140 kilometers away. I think this was down in Costa Rica. And some of them went to homes. Some of them went to local restaurants. So tracking people by putting GPS trackers in them. I think that was brilliant. Google's Fitbit deal may win EU approval despite concerns from rivals, a report has said. Google has made a bunch of concessions, saying that they're not going to use data from the Fitbit to advertise against people in the European Union for up to 10 years and a variety of other things. But concerns over Google getting too powerful in the wearables market and trying to self-regulate were also issues raised by competitive companies. And the Financial Times reports that Garmin, Samsung, and a consumer group called BEUC are among those that have been consulted. It also notes that the EU regulators are finding it hard to justify blocking the deal. This deal is about device, not data. Google does everything for data. That statement there was just laughable. Facebook is going to launch a mental health portal to connect users to info and support. Well, I'm going to tell you, they need to. Facebook is causing mental health issues in this country. I love many of you, but I have put a whole bunch of people on 30-day vacations. Huge number of people on 30-day vacations. Some of you folks have lost your minds. Please calm down. But anyway, and this mental health portal, I think it's needed. Facebook to launch a mental health portal to connect users to info and support. Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger will also get new tools to help support users. Emotional health during the coronavirus pandemic. I was driving my car the other day, and it told me, you need to sleep. You need to rest. It was basically thinking I was overcorrecting too much. First time my car's told me that. So what does it have to do with Facebook launching a mental health portal? Nothing, but it seemed like it fit at this point. Rita says, I know my county is still closed down. You know, it's lots of places. This is a weird one. Samsonite has come out with a backpack. It's called Google Powered. It's a Google Powered smart backpack that has a touch gesture strap. The Connect Eye uses Google's Jacquard tech to function as a Bluetooth connected remote. We're not going anywhere. What was the idea of launching a new backpack when we're not traveling or going anyplace? Its new smart backpack can connect your phone and control music and Google Assistant remotely. It's about $220. Doesn't make any sense to me. Link will be up in the show notes. Toyota in Hino. Hino's a truck manufacturer in Japan, has partnered for fuel cell powered semi-trucks. So here's the thing. They got this picture here. And it shows this big semi-truck. If you are in Japan, this is not what you see on the streets of Japan or even on the highway in Japan. Maybe this is what's exported. But this looks like an American semi-truck. They just don't have those big of trucks with sleepers and everything in them in Japan. They don't. It's all like a normal truck body with a bed. It's all one unit. It's nothing on an axle. So, or not an axle, but on a pivot, a pintle. But they say they're going to come up with a zero emission electric truck and be able to pull 80,000 tons. So I guess, is that right? 80,000 tons? Is there 80,000? Oh, 80,000 pounds. Okay, that makes more sense. So all the while, the two new hydrogen fuel stacks and 12 kilowatt hour battery help the truck go 300 miles. Only 300? That's not going to work out so good. Rita says, Facebook has put me on a few 30-day vacations back to back. I think I've gotten a 3 or 4 day Facebook vacation, but I've never gotten a 30-day Facebook vacation. Probably would do me good. Warner Brothers' Dune theatrical release has been pushed back a year to October of 2021. The spice will flow next year. So it seems Dune fans will have to wait to watch the latest film adaptation of Frank Herbert's sci-fi masterpiece. And they've delayed the upcoming movie almost a full year. So sad. So sad. Ah. Just another one. Working from home, slow broadband, Remote security remains a top issue. Yep, for those workers whose homes have become the de facto home office. I know Kirk has this. He's got last time I talked to him about it, he had like a spot, kind of like a little closet area to work from. And he works from Verizon, and they tell him he's got to stay home until sometime next year. But anyway, broadband connectivity and security are ongoing issues, according to a Navisite survey. So check this out. Is that around 51% of those surveyed said they experienced some IT pains during their rapid shift to support home workers, while almost a third, 29%, continue to face technical challenges. At the same time, the majority of 83% now expect to continue with remote work policies when pandemic restrictions are lifted. I'm going to try to get people back in the office as soon as we can. Top concerns for long-term WF work from home, the need for broadband. Ensuring employers can carry out their work at home over a longer period presents some concerns for organizations. Chief among those is poor internet bandwidth, an issue cited nearly half, 49% of the respondents. With meetings being held using video apps such as Zoom, Microsoft Teams, in addition to the deployment of a range of collaboration and productivity tools, unreliable internet connections have caused headaches. If you have poor home internet performance, it can cause problems with the quality of video. And really what it does is cause people to be less productive. And yet here we are in the United States and we're still sucking for broadband speeds. Rita says, my favorite quote from Dune by Frank Herbert, fear is the mind killer. Oh, that's a good one. So in the UK, an Excel spreadsheet error blamed for UK's 16,000 missing coronavirus cases. The cases went missing after the spreadsheet hit its file size limit. Yeah. Interesting. So the spreadsheet got too big and they left off 15,841 cases. Ha-ha. So they basically fixed that today. And so anyway, they had a older version of, I guess, what was it, Office? They had 1,048,576 rows, and that was a problem. you ever sorted a big spreadsheet like that before? I have. It's fun. H&M. It's been fined for breaking GDPR over employee surveillance. H&M has been fined £35.3 million or euros for the, 35.3 million euros for the illegal surveillance of several hundred employees. The company kept excessive records of the families, religions, and illnesses of its workforce out of its German data, out of its data centers. So the retailers accepted full responsibility and plans to compensate employees. It is the second largest fine a single company has faced under the EU GDPR guidelines. Last year, the French data regulator CNIL fined Google 50 million euros for breaking the GDPR regulations. Just a rounding error for them. So it's pretty serious on GDPR. When will they go after a company that is based solely outside of the European Union? Bing? Yeah, Bing still exists, right? Bing.com, where you can go search. As compared to Google.com, Bing is now Microsoft Bing as the search engine gets a rebrand. Bing is now very much the Microsoft search engine. Bing it, I hear a lot of people say. Disney's Marvel and Pixar movies now available in 4K HDR on Apple TV and iTunes. Yeah, it'd be nice if I could watch it in 4K. So can I download it in 4K? Probably take me a week to do so. For 3 years, users in the Apple ecosystem had to settle for 1080p HD to watch Marvel or Pixar animated films. And today it's changing in the United States and Canada and the United Kingdom. A plethora of Disney-made films exclusive of numerous Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar, and Walt Disney Studio animated films are available in Apple Storefront in both 4K and Dolby Vision HDR. So, okay. They've also confirmed that users who previously purchased any updated Disney movies on iTunes will get the HD to 4K HDR automatic upgrades. So how many 4K movies can you store on your Apple TV? Spotify will not let you search using lyrics, so you can find that one song stuck in your head. So it's another way to search for songs. And oftentimes I'm the same way. I have no idea what the name of a song is, but I know maybe a lyric or two. Ars Technica has a good article on the 45 minutes on the road in a prototype Volkswagen ID.4 electric car. It says it turns on a dime, but there's a lot of roll in the corners. Well, that doesn't sound very good. So anyway, so if you're a VW fan, which I'm not, if you're a VW fan, there's a good article on this ID.4 electric car. Netflix just made it easier to find something new to watch. There's a new tab called New and Popular. I thought that was already one of the normal selections, but I guess it's been added. So New and Popular on Netflix. It is curious from time to time to look in there and see what the top 10, top 10 videos are. Or top 10, what am I saying? Not the top 10. Yeah, what the top 10 in the country are today. It's interesting to see what people are watching. YouTube Music has dropped monthly fee for Chromecast support. So now YouTube Music is its sole offering. And they're finally opening Chromecast support to everyone. Google Play Music is actively winding down this month, leaving YouTube Music as Google's only music app. A major feature gap between the two services has been the restrictive Chromecast support on Google Music. Casting just worked for everyone. On YouTube Music, casting was restricted to people paying for the monthly streaming service. For the Bring Your Own Music crowd, that's meant if you want to cast music on your own speakers, your music, there was no alternative but subscribe to a streaming service you probably didn't want. So, anyway, that's a change for those of you that have libraries of music. So just like on the, you know, one thing I do like on the Mac, if a message comes in, an iMessage comes in from another Apple user, I can respond to it right on my computer. I cannot do that real easily with anyone that's using an Android device. I have to pick up my phone and do the response. But you can now text from your computer with Android Message. It's a message using mobile or the web. So Google has the ability to text from the web with Android Messages. The feature gives users a lot more flexibility in choosing how and where they can carry on conversations. As long as your Android smartphone is powered on, you can text from a desktop computer or even other mobile devices. That's cool. Very, very cool. So Android Message, if you weren't aware, it is available. This next article is kind of weird, but those of you, the geekies out there, are going to love this. This is from VentureBeat. It's talking about making sense of artificial intelligence, which I don't think I have much tonight. NVIDIA unveils Maxine. It's always a woman's name, isn't it? A managed cloud AI video conferencing service. And NVIDIA launched NVIDIA Maxine, a platform that provides developers with a suite of GPU-accelerated AI conferencing software to enhance video quality. The company describes Maxine as a cloud-native solution that makes it possible for service providers to bring AI effects, including gaze correction, super resolution, noise cancellation, face relighting, and more to end users. So they're trying to make us look better on video conferencing. You know, on video conferencing, I just want to turn the video off. That's what I want to do from time to time. Honestly. Twitch clarifies its ban on terrorist and extremist content. So we clarified our policy prohibiting terrorist and extremist content. View the violence and threat section of the community guidelines for further details. Now, last year, a shooter broadcast their attack on a German synagogue live on Twitch. Other terrorist attacks have been live streamed on other platforms in recent years, and it's very hard to prevent. Tackling extremist and terrorist content is a difficult problem, and people can sign up accounts, and just start streaming. So this is still going to happen. Platforms need to use every tool at their disposal to clamp down on such action, though Twitch is a long-handed zero-tolerance approach. Spelling out what is and isn't allowed as explicitly as possible can't hurt. So listen to this. Here's the language. Twitch does not allow content that depicts, glorifies, encourages, or supports terrorism or violent extremist actors or acts. This includes threatening to or encouraging others to commit acts that would result in serious physical harm to groups of people or significant property destruction. You may not display or link terrorist or extremist propaganda, including graphic pictures or footage of terrorist extremist violence, even for the purpose of denouncing such content. So you want to link to something on your Twitch account? It's got that kind of content. You're going to get banned. This could have been the headline for the show, this next one. And I don't think this is going to come as a surprise for anybody. John McAfee's been arrested in Spain on U.S. criminal charges. John McAfee, the 74-year-old software magnate turned crypto bull, has been arrested in Spain on allegations of tax evasion. Why am I not surprised? On Monday, DOJ prosecutors unsealed criminal indictment against McAfee, who faced a charge of tax evasion and willful failure to file tax returns that could land him behind bars for 5 years if convicted. He was a big Bitcoin promoter. He made like 20-some million dollars from projects around Bitcoin. Oh, my God. He had some pretty extravagant. You think the president does some extravagant tweeting? McAfee was really extravagant in some of his posts. The SEC is seeking civil penalties in order prohibiting McAfee from serving as a public officer again in the future. I don't think that's going to be a problem. The SEC also sued McAfee's personal security guard, Jimmy Gale Watson, in the complaint. So, he raised a cumulative $41 million. John, you should have went to a country that doesn't have extradition to the United States. Spain was not the place to go hide. Oh, man. Ted talks about the AI in our chat room. He says, which questions were you really asking? That you're not feeling artificial or that you're not feeling intelligent today? Oh, this AI stuff needs to stay out of our lives, especially when it's depicting us in different ways on the screen. Can I sleep through a meeting and it show me to be participating? YouTube Premium subscribers can now get the Google Nest Hub for just $50. You must redeem your promotional code before October 31st. How much does this thing normally retail for? If you're a YouTube Premium subscriber, you may be able to get your hands on Google Nest Hub for a discount price of $50. In order to the Chrome Unbox, Google has launched a new promotion for select YouTube Premium subscribers, offering a $40 discount on the best display under 100. Okay. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that if you're a YouTube Premium subscriber. Venmo, my goodness. Venmo's first credit card offers adjustable cashback rewards. Oh, you just don't get 3% back. You only get 3% back on your highest spending category, not the entire bill. So you can get a Venmo Visa card. I've said all along, my company needs a Blueberry Visa card. It seems to be where all the money is being made because people don't pay their credit card bill. Grindr accounts could be easily hacked with an email address. So the LGBT community was informed, or the LGBTQ dating app was informed of the issue. It enabled full access to individuals' account, including images, messages, and HIV status. Grindr said, thankfully, we believe we addressed the issue before it was exploited by any malicious parties. The flaw was discovered by French security researcher Wassimi Bourdemage and documented by security experts Troy Hunt and Scott Helmy. So that basically someone could have took over someone's account very easily. So anyway, they got it fixed. Good for them. Averted release of people's personal information. Apple is suing a recycler for allegedly reselling 100,000 iPhones, iPads, and watches. Now get this. This is a good one. GEEP Canada was supposed to dismantle these devices. Instead, 100,000 of them, at least 11,766 pounds of Apple devices left GEEP's premises without being destroyed. Now, Apple is seeking $31 million from its former partner. GEEP hasn't denied the theft, but listen to this. But the claims that three employees stole the devices to benefit themselves, not the company. But Apple has countered that the employees were, in fact, GEEP's senior executives. Oh, my goodness. Of course, you know, Right to Repair groups have, you know, accused Apple of, you know, these phones could have been used by someone else, and they obviously were, because 51% of them that went for destruction there ended up being resold, and someone pocketed the money. So it's very, very curious what they've done there, but makes you say, just a little bit. Are you a camera nut? Oh my God. Check this out. Zeiss, full frame compact camera, finally available for pre-order, only $6,000. The shoot, edit, share camera hasn't seen much since its launch in 2018, but it is now available. $6,000. It debuted in 2018 with built-in Lightroom CC and other unusual features, but we're barely here to peep from it now. It's not got on pre-order for $6,000 at B&H. The ZX1 has high-end specs for compact, including a 37.4 megapixel sensor, 35 millimeter fixed Zeiss Disagon F2 lens, and on and on and on. $6,000. This thing better kiss me goodnight. That's crazy. Crazy, crazy money. Crazy. $6,000. All right. Is that the end? Yes, we're at the end. We are at the end of the show. We're end of 16th anniversary show. So all of you that were here October 4th, 2004, and listen to episode one where I opened up with AC/DC Back in Black, played the full track. Thank you for being here since episode one, two, or three. Those are no longer, I don't believe, on the web. At least the media is not, because I got scared when I figured out I wasn't supposed to do that. Somewhere in some hard drive is episode one without, you know, that I could edit and find. If I ever find it, I'll put it up. But, for those of you who have been here from the beginning, thank you so much. Thanks for being part of the family. Thank you for the ride. And if you joined the ride somewhere along the line, you're just as equally thankful for being part of our family here. And I do appreciate your longtime support of this podcast and the sponsor and everything that's been going on. As I said at the beginning of the show, I'm taking three shows off. So I'll be back with you a week and a half from now. More than a week and a half, because really the next show is supposed to be Thursday, but I'm going to be back with you on October 19th. So be back with a regular show on then. So again, no show on the 8th, 12th, or 15th. And anyway, and no new media show or nothing. So I'm going dark for a few days for show-wise. I'm still working and stuff, but no podcast. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being part of the family. And again, if you have comments on today's show, if you want to send in like some of your fun moments throughout the years, feel free to do that, or you can save them for episode 1500. It's up to you. But geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. geeknews@gmail.com. @geeknews is the Twitter account. I want to thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.